Now, the Arkansas Department of Education warned schools last week not to offer advanced placement African American studies, claiming concerns over indoctrination. Here's Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders talking to Fox News about the decision.
We cannot perpetuate a lie to our students and push this propaganda leftist agenda, teaching our kids to hate America and hate one another.
Some Arkansas schools have said they will still offer the course, but the state won't support advanced placement credits. This news is the latest in a trend taking place, especially in conservative states around the country, changing the way Black history is taught. 16 states have outlawed critical race theory in K-12 education, and Florida, another state that has banned AP African American studies, just introduced controversial new guidelines for teaching Black history that many scholars argue paint slavery as less of an atrocity than it actually was. We're talking about this trend of state governments changing the way we talk about the history of race in schools, and you could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your reactions, your questions. What do you think about this trend in states around the country? Why do you think it's happening? Are you a high school student at one of the Wisconsin schools that's offered this pilot AP African American Studies program? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Gloria Ladson-Billings is an emerita professor of curriculum and instruction at the UW-Madison School of Education, an expert on critical race theory, and former president of the National Academy of Education. Gloria, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for the invitation.
We heard that comment from Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I think a common critique of teaching about the history of race in the United States. What is your reaction to that?
Well, there's nothing in the AP course or the commonly taught African-American studies courses that teaches people to hate one another or that teaches people to, you know, take up any one political perspective. We are trying to tell the true history of America.
I want to dig into a couple of terms here. Critical race theory is one that comes up a lot. As I mentioned, many states have outlawed teaching it in schools. It seems like it started as a fairly specific thing, but there's been a backlash that's widened it to cover more and more ground in the eyes of critics anyway. What is critical race theory? What isn't it in this context?
Well, I think the shorthand I can give you is that critical race theory is an attempt to explain racial disparity. And so whenever I have a conversation with someone who's either saying they're against it or they don't, you know anything about it, I always ask the question, how do you explain racial disparity? Now, let's be clear. We have always had an explanation for racial disparity in this country. From about 1619 to the mid-20th century, our explanation was biogenetic. We literally said some people just not as smart as others. There were courses in programs in eugenics in universities across this nation, essentially saying ranking people based on their race. Somewhere about the mid-1950s with the Brown decision and some other things that occurred, we started seeing an explanation that suggests, well, the disparities reside in the fact that some people don't have equal opportunities. And that's not a bad explanation, except everything that was put in place to remedy the unequal opportunity has been rolled back. The Brown decision, the Voting Rights Act, affirmative action, the Civil Rights Act, all of those things have kind of gone away. And so critical race theory says, look, what's happening is that it's really baked into the way in which we've organized the society. So that's what it is. It isn't diversity, equity, and inclusion. It isn't SEL. It isn't culturally responsive teaching. It's none of the things that Christopher Rufo and the folks from the Manhattan Institute have put under this umbrella that they are now calling critical race theory. And they know that.
And you mentioned another thing that happens to share the abbreviation CRT that you've worked with a lot, culturally responsive or culturally relevant teaching. That's been, as you say, scooped up under this umbrella. What is it and why is it important?
So culturally relevant pedagogy, as I have defined it, and it's really a word, that a phrase that I coined back in 1989. Interesting, we're now in 2023. but it is an attempt to ensure that all students are successful in the classroom. That's its purpose. So it looks at three major things: How are teachers ensuring student learning? How are they helping students to develop a cultural competence so that they can get along with and understand people who may be different from themselves, as well as understand their own history and culture? And then finally, how do we help our young people develop a kind of socio-political or critical consciousness? Education really is about citizen making. And you're not just a citizen just because you go vote. You are a citizen because you listen to the issues, you pay attention to national, local elections, you raise questions about issues like the environment. So part of culturally relevant pedagogy is really preparing kids to solve real problems that they discover based on the kinds of tools we give them, such as literacy and numeracy, history, political science, the various sciences, the arts, and humanities.
As you watch states develop new curricula to talk about race in American history, and people have looked at Florida a lot in particular, what do you worry that that might change, that might obscure some of the realities of American history?
So, and I actually spend some time in Florida each year, so I've been pretty up close with a couple of school districts who are struggling with this. Right now, we have about 1,477 instances of individual bans on books. That's about 874 unique titles. Now, book banning is not a new thing in America. We were banning books in the 1600s, particularly books around religion and religious practices and beliefs. However, I can't remember a time when the state was so engaged in banning books. And we can look through history and see that when societies begin to ban books, it's never a good thing. You know, the Nazi regime banned books. Folks in the Soviet Union had books banned. Now, when individual groups do it, that's their privilege. You know, if a religious group says, I don't want this book, but when the state gets involved, that's the problem. So I did go and visit a librarian while I was in Florida. She had no books on the shelf. And I said, you know, where are the books? Her response was, I don't know which ones they think is okay, so I'm not going to put any up here. Now that's to me is frightening. And you probably also heard that the state of Texas has taken over the Houston Independent School District. And for those schools that were not meeting state standards, the new superintendent has taken away the libraries. He's now going to do detention centers for them. So when you think about how draconian some of these responses are, it is frightening. And what's frightening is the degree to which it is spreading. The Florida House Bill 7, for example, I've read through the bill. The thing that scares me most about that bill is that violation of it constitutes a class 3 felony, not a misdemeanor, a felony. So a teacher who has a felony probably will never teach again, not in Florida and not anywhere else, because you do have to put on your applications whether or not you've ever been convicted of a felony.
We're talking about a backlash against AP African American Studies classes and other aspects of teaching the history of Black people in the United States. Our guest is Gloria Ladson-Billings, Emerita Professor of Curriculum and Instruction at UW-Madison School of Education. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What did you learn about African American history in your school? What do you think was lacking? Are you teaching nowadays in history and related subjects? Do you have worries about what's going on around the country? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Gloria Ladson-Billings, Emerita Professor of Curriculum and Instruction at UW-Madison School of Education. We're talking about a backlash against the way Black history is taught in American schools, including a pilot AP African American Studies class that's been blocked in a couple states now. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Jacob is with us in Madison. Jacob, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to make the comment that I feel a lot of Republican legislatures and governors are enacting legislation now that fosters a lot of right-wing Christian nationalism.
Jacob, thanks for the call. Gloria, do you see these trends in education being driven more by political factors, as Jacob is pointing to, than educational ones?
Oh, of course. And I just want to make a point that I mentioned book bans. A lot of these books are actually book bans are anti-LGBTQ. That there is this sort of merging of race and sexuality that is somewhat designed to frighten the public. But what people are not understanding, I think, as they hear these pronouncements, is that 70%, and this was actually an NPR Axios survey, 70% of parents say they want schools to teach about race, that they feel that teachers are better prepared to really help students work their way through the issues than they themselves are. So it is a very vocal minority, and you have legislatures that are going along with this.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Gloria, I think a common concern, or at least a claim of a concern about teaching about issues of race in American history is that it might be done in a way that makes, I'll be blunt, makes the white kids feel bad. Like, oh, if we talk about white oppression of black people in the past, does that make the white kids feel bad? Is that do you see that as a valid concern? Are there ways to teach and not have that happen?
Well, you're talking to someone who went to school in the 1960s, who sat in honors classes, often the only black student in the class. And I had to read Mark Twain. And trust me, I felt bad about the way that in Huckleberry Finn, the language that Twain used, which was the language of the era. But I was the only person in the class. No one ever said, you know, well, we aren't going to read this. You know, no one said we weren't going to read Heart of Darkness by Joseph Conrad. No one said we weren't going to read Gone with the Wind by Margaret Mitchell. We read those things, and no one, you know, all of a sudden we are caring about the kids' feelings, not understanding that teachers who are skillful know how to help kids navigate and make their way through it. I mean, one of the books that's banned now is The Kill a Mockingbird. And that's, you know, we've read that book for decades. And when did someone say, well, this book makes me feel bad? So I think that is a smokescreen, that it is less about kids' feelings than it is about how can I get you to be so frightened of what happens that you will vote for me.
Time for one more caller. Chris is with us in Eau Claire. Chris, hi.
Hi. So I've been paying some close attention to this argument for a while. And my argument here would be that the state recognizing different classes of race in their educational system would constitute a violation of one's constitutional rights by segregating this education here. The state is therefore recognizing a difference of class via race, and I would have to argue there would have to be a violation of one's constitutional rights here.
Chris, thanks for the call. I'm not sure I exactly got that. Gloria, do you have thoughts?
Yeah, I actually am one of the people when I worked in the school district of Philadelphia as a social studies supervisor who put together one of the nation's first Holocaust curriculum. So then from that grew Jewish studies. So I wonder if your caller believes we should not have a Jewish studies program.
Chris, thanks for calling in. Gloria, I want to talk about what you would like to see taught. And let's go from maybe the high school level. What, when we're talking about history and making and talking about African-American history in particular, what to you is the best way to teach so that kids confront things and think and engage critically with material?
So I think one of the challenges in the teaching of U.S. history, which is actually what I taught as a public school teacher, is that there are so many omissions and distortions. We would not have to have a separate African-American studies or African-American history course if what we taught in U.S. history was more robust and really looked at the experiences of people across the spectrum. So it isn't that we shouldn't teach it. I also want to point out that the banning of the AP course, AP is one of the vehicles that students, particularly students who may be economically challenged, AP is one of the ways that they gather credits so that they can take less credits when they get to college. It has a financial benefit for them. So I just want to throw that out there. I also want to point out is that Florida is also banning the psychology class, the AP psychology class, because it deals with issues of sexuality. So there's a very ideologically driven perspective. Now, many of us who have followed this over time realize that African-American studies, Latinx studies, American Indian studies, Asian American studies all come out of the 1960s because each of these groups recognize that they are not well represented in the teaching of U.S. history. So if we had a better teaching of U.S. history, perhaps we wouldn't have to have a separate or individual course. But there's always been a kind of, you know, ever since we've gone to sort of liberal studies as an approach to college learning and moved away from classical studies, there's always been a proliferation of courses, each one more specific. I mean, your previous caller, you know, would he object to a Shakespeare course? Because after all, it's all British literature. Why isn't Shakespeare lumped in with Byron and Keats and, you know, all these other folks who are British writers? So there's always a level of specification that you're likely to see the more we learn.
Gloria, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
That's Gloria Ladson-Billings, Emerita Professor of Curriculum and Instruction at the UW-Madison School of Education. She joined us to talk about debates over how to teach American history and African-American history in schools around the country and some states banning the AP African-American Studies class.